Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, this is Gaudete Sunday, a Latin word that means to rejoice. And our readings today center around this theme of joy. But it's a certain kind of joy. It is a joy that is rising in our hearts, but it is not yet fully realized. It's like the rays of the sun when they first appear in the morning and they create those beautiful rose hues on the horizon. That rose color is the color that we celebrate today because we are a people of anticipated joy. The joy that we will celebrate, of course, at Christmas time, but even more so, the joy that we will fully know when we ascend into that place of eternal glory. And so I want to give you a homily today that's entitled Rose-Colored Glasses. That just as I am wearing a rose-colored chasuble, I want you to wear rose-colored glasses. But you might say, Father, rose-colored glasses? Come on, I mean, that's sort of an insult, isn't it? When you say to someone, don't put on those rose-colored glasses, we're saying something like this. Stop being so naive. Don't be such an idealist and start living in the real world. But beloved, this Sunday invites us to see the world wearing rose-colored glasses. For while it is true there is much in the news and much in our lives that is trying and difficult, we see life primarily from the perspective of Jesus Christ. And in that Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we have the anticipation of Jesus' coming and the life and liberation that he will bring results in joy. And so this Sunday, we celebrate that joy is rising in our hearts, just as when the morning sun rises and begins to create those beautiful colors. I love this story of a man who wore those rose-colored glasses. It's from the 3rd century. And let me just read to you what this man penned as he was dying. It's a bad world. It's an incredibly bad world. But I've discovered in the midst of it, listen to this, I've discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned the great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are the masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. They are Christians, and I am one of them. And so I want to ask you, have you found the secret of joy? Have you discovered what it is to be the master of your own soul? Such a perspective is the perspective of those who celebrate Gaudete Sunday. Such is the perspective of John the Baptist, who in the wilderness cries out, and we cry out as well, prepare the way for the rising Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, whose birth in the world allows us to see everything from his perspective. And so today, I want to concentrate on one verse from our readings. It's from 1 Thessalonians. Do you know that 1 Thessalonians is the oldest Christian document that we have? There is nothing older than it. It was written around the year 50 AD. And here, clearly we see St. Paul resonating with that 3rd century Christian. St. Paul is wearing rose-colored glasses. And before we get to the passage, just so that you know that St. Paul understood what it was like to live in the real world, listen to what St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about his experience of the world. I have been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and I've been at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. I've been beaten by Roman rods 3 times. I've been pummeled with rocks. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. And he's not done yet, but I'm not going to read the rest of the list because I do not have time. But what I want you to know and appreciate is St. Paul understood what it was like to live in the real world. And yet, this St. Paul writes to us today Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Here is an encouragement from the great apostle. Put on those rose-colored glasses. But you might counter, wait a minute, Father. Didn't you say that 1 Thessalonians was his first letter, written around the year 50 AD? He didn't write 2 Corinthians until around the year 56 AD. And so maybe that optimism that he felt at the beginning wasn't there 6 years later after he details all of the things that he had gone through. But you know what's lovely? One of his last letters is called the Letter to the Philippians, written about 14 years after he wrote 1 Thessalonians. And interestingly enough, he says the same thing in Philippians, one of his last letters, as he says in 1 Thessalonians, which is one of his first letters. And indeed, the theme for today's Mass, this is the introit of the Mass, is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Now we might think, okay, wait a second. Isn't this going over the top just a little bit? But again, remember that for St. Paul, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. Jesus is not just one more great teacher among many. For Paul, the dying and rising of Jesus Christ turned his world upside down. But still, you might say, Father, to rejoice always? Come on, let's be reasonable. Your mother died. Your house burned down. You lost your job, but never mind, rejoice. Is that what Paul is saying? No, it's not. Rejoicing does not mean we are to be on an emotional high all the time. We're not always to be in a giddy state of exaltation. What Paul wants us to understand is that even in facing the greatest hardships, the resurrection of Jesus Christ signals a victory that has universal significance. He has won, and no negativity can undo it. So we have times when we feel depressed. We have times when we feel overwhelmed. Like the other day, when was it? Oh yeah, it was Friday morning. I was just in one of those moods of kind of a desolation. And when I came to church, I thought, I don't want to say Mass this morning. I just feel grumpy and low. But thanks be to God, because I'm a priest, I did say Mass that morning. And what I discovered through the day was that desolation began to lift, and I came into a place where I could rejoice in God. So, beloved, understand it this way. Joy is that quality of knowing that regardless of what is going on in my world around me, there is a deep-rooted sense of my true identity being in Christ. What is it that the saints show us? They show us this quality of joy. They suffered immensely, but in the midst of that suffering, there is a peace that they know, which takes me back to Philippians chapter 4. After saying, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, listen to what Paul goes on to write. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Do you hear the consistency of St. Paul? Be it 1 Thessalonians in the year 50 AD, be it Philippians in the year 64 AD, he is able to say, rejoice, pray constantly, and give thanks. Now you might say, Father, maybe you can pray constantly, but I can't. I've got a job, I've got children, I've got all of these other things that I have to attend to. How do I pray constantly? Now this is what we have to understand by this particular phrase. Paul does not mean we should be on our knees, 24/7. Rather, he wants us to understand something. That because Jesus has taken to himself our humanity, we now have access to a relationship with the Father that was never available before. And the love that exists between the Father and the Son is poured out to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the more we discover what it is to live in relationship with the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we can come more and more into this place of praying continuously. Let me use an analogy. Every moment of every day, you and I are dependent upon oxygen. We have to breathe it in order to live. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not aware of every second of the day realizing that I depend upon oxygen, but I do. Similarly, we depend upon God, whether we know it or not. But people who are learning to pray constantly are learning to live in such a way that we understand that everything we are doing in our lives is a means by which and through which we are in prayer to God. I love what St. Paul wrote when he was in Athens, and he was actually quoting one of the Greek philosophers who said, "In him we live and move and have our being." And that's what it means to pray constantly. It's to understand that in all of our life, we live and move and have our being in God. And people who have a growing sense of that kind of prayer are going to be more attentive to their particular prayers. So let me just invite you to examine your conscience. How regularly do you pray prayers? How attentive are you to this appreciation that without God, you would have no life, just as without oxygen, you would have no life? What a difference it makes when each day we can get up and say that in God I live and move and have my being. And then out of that place of rejoicing, of praying, we can give thanks in all circumstances. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that everything in our life is easy, hardly. But what we understand is this: because we are people of the incarnation, because we truly believe that God and Jesus became a human being, we are therefore able to look at every experience in life from the perspective of Christ. Sickness, disappointment, failure, rejection, anxiety, even death itself, the Son of God experienced these things. By touching all of them, Christ's divinity transforms our lives. And we understand that everything that we are going through in this world is an opportunity for our sanctification. Did you hear what St. Paul said in that reading from Thessalonians? To rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks is God's will for you. So if you ever ask yourself the question, I don't know what God's will is for my life, Thessalonians chapter 5 tells you what it is, and me as well. It is these three things: to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. Because what's God's will for you? That you will be sanctified wholly in mind, soul, and body. Isn't that great? We know why we're here. And what St. Paul would encourage us to do today, beloved, is this: wear those rose-colored glasses. We are realists when it comes to the world as Christians. But we are also optimists because Jesus Christ came to this world. And it's because of Christ that we can live our life now in such a way that what we profess to be true transforms how we live on Monday. So this is Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Do not see the world from the perspective of CNN, the Globe and Mail, the National Post, although they have much to say to us. But if that is going to define how you see the world, it is going to be hard for you to rejoice. But if you see the world from the perspective of the dying and rising God, then with St. Paul, we indeed can say, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, "For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus."